The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I'd say if you went to my five-year-old, who is the apple of my eye, I love all my kids, but man, that little five-year-old girl, there's something about her. And if you said, what does your dad think about you? And if she said, he's disappointed in me, you would think, what's wrong with dad? Right? So, if I'm thinking God's disappointed in me, that's actually a reflection, not so much on me, that's a reflection on my Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Business consultant and former fighter pilot Ed Rush exposes the lies and helps us listen to God.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James, and you're going to be so blessed. We're going to talk about hearing God and God talking to us, and we'll know it. We'll tell the difference.
Do you really believe you can hear His voice?
I do.
He likes to talk to people?
I think He does. He likes to talk to His children.
Do you think anybody can hear Him?
Anybody.
And hear Him clearly?
That will have ears to hear.
And yes. Know it's Him.
And know it's Him.
Now, you met this author, Ed Rush. Did you like him?
I loved it.
Did you think he knows what he's talking about?
I absolutely do.
Because he didn't even believe you could hear God anymore. And he was a church guy that didn't believe it. And he had church folks backing him up. But these things have passed away. And all of a sudden, he found out, in fact, they haven't passed away. Well, he's here as a Marine and pilot. Did two tours in Iraq. And boy, he got to where he really wanted to hear God. And he didn't want to just hear the tower or somebody warning him in his group. He wanted to hear this voice. You really seriously believe you hear God?
Yeah.
The real God?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, I think, you know, he's so interested in the conversation that when he went to naming himself, one of the names he gave himself was the Word. And you think if he's the Word, he'd have something to say, you know? So.
Well, he says in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
And of course, we have the Word too, but the Word has a voice.
Yeah.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like this. I have kids just like you have kids. I love talking to my kids. My oldest daughter, she's 19. She just went off to college, community college, so she's with us. But she's starting to make decisions. She's starting to go out on her own. It would be crazy of me to write a letter to her, a really long letter, and say, I don't have anything else to say to you. I love the Word, by the way. I read the Word, memorize the Word, understand that God speaks through His Word. It's the primary means through which God shares His views of the world and how you ought to live. But at the same time, He's a wonderfully interactive God who likes a good joke every once in a while and loves to help you along your way and can answer questions about every part of your day. And that's what we talk about in this. We had that wonderful show that we talked about last time. But we talked about how you can ask God questions about anything, your life, money, your family, your business, and He'll answer you when you know how to do it. And I've taught atheists how to talk to God. I tell people, if I can teach an atheist, I can teach you too.
Well, I love the way in the earlier show you talked about as a pilot and learning, you went to those that knew more about it than you had learned yet, and you took instruction from them. So it was good training for learning how to hear God, wasn't it?
And it's that word too, training. So my I had a whole team that said, don't use that word. People don't like transit. People love training as long as it's the right thing that they're doing. And learning to hear from God is nothing more than practicing. After a while, you could do it like today. I'm going to be walking through the airport. Just have that conversation as you go. But at first, you're going to want to do a little work ahead of time, kind of slow yourself down, take your journal out, ask some questions, journal the answers, and maybe have some people around you who you can bounce your ideas off.
You know, you might fall in love with a girl and write letters, and y'all read each other's letters. But then if you got together, you would not want to just write a letter, read each other's letters. It'd be nice if you could actually talk to each other.
Yeah, talk, you know, give each other a hug, maybe get married down the road or something like that. Like, you know, there's a lot of good things that come with that relationship. And those relationships, as you know, those are designed to point us to God. Those are frameworks to show us how much God loves us.
If you love somebody, you want to hear their voice.
Yeah.
And if you love somebody, you want them to want to hear your voice.
Yep.
And we share. And with God, who loves us more than anybody, He wants to hear our voice. He welcomes it. He tells us to call. He'll answer. He always will. That means He's here, and He answers. He delivers. He directs. He guides. He wants to bless us. And much of His Word is a blessing. Everything He says is a blessing. And if we'll hear Him, He will direct our steps. He can just, there's not anything he can't deal with. Now, sometimes it takes us a little while to seemingly understand what it is he's saying to us, because he writes it in the Bible, and it looks like we can't understand it, and it's there in black and white, and it's plain as day. But, you know, the enemy, we got an enemy who's attacking his voice, who is imitating his voice, who is appearing as an angel of light or a minister of righteousness. He's a deceiver and the father of lies. So you're not walking around in a silent setting. It's a noisy setting. I mean, the realm of the spirit is very active and very busy, and they're two very different sounds, but they are very, very seductive. They're very effective when they come from the deceiver, yeah, because he's the father of that kind of stuff. Okay, how do you get to where, okay, this I hope it's not too complicated a question to throw up early, but how do you discern the difference in the deceiver's voice and the father's voice when this deceiver can be so crafty?
Great.
What warnings?
Great question, by the way. I like the hard questions. The reason I love the hard questions is because everyone's asking the hard questions. You might as well just answer it, right? And so, a lot of voices in the world today. You have the media's voice, you have the world's voice, you have your friend's voice, your family's voice, your wife, your husband's voice. You've got your voice rattling around someplace in your head, which can get confusing after a little while. You have God's voice, which actually sounds quite a bit often like your voice, because you're a spirit, God's a spirit, he talks to your spirit. I meant to talk about the mechanics of that in the book, and then you have the enemy's voice. So there's a lot of competing voices, and there's a lot of ways that you can hear it and maybe get it wrong, or hear it and not 100% get it right. But what Jesus said with firm resolution was, my sheep hear my voice. And he used the lowest form to describe us, by the way, because he tells us we can be partners, friends, lovers, we can be sons and daughters. But he said sheep. He took the lowest one and he said, look, even the sheep, even my sheep.
By the way, sheep weren't real smart.
Yeah.
They had to use a Judas goat to lead the dumb sheep somewhere. And really, sheep couldn't make it without a shepherd. I mean, they just wander all over the place, and he calls us his sheep. So we're not really too bright, and we really do need a shepherd. And they can hear his voice. That's about as plain as you can get. If sheep can hear me, people can hear me.
Even the sheep, even those dumb animals. By the way, the subtitle of the book is Even If You've Made a Million Mistakes. And the reason I wrote that, number one, because I'm a member of the Million Mistake Club. The reason I wrote that is because we talked in the previous show about how sometimes people come and say, I feel disqualified. And I've had Christian leaders that I've been training and mentoring, like wonderful people, lived beautiful lives, who are like, so I feel like disqualified because of something they did 20 years ago, because some way that they thought or some dumb thing they said. And everyone has that story. And those are the things that begin to tune out the voice of God. So we're talking about sheep hearing. A sheep doesn't go, I had a bad day yesterday. I'm disqualified. A sheep just goes, that's the shepherd, and tunes their ears to the shepherd. And what hearing from God is about tuning your frequency to hear from the good shepherd. And I'm here to tell you, you get better at it, and it gets easier. At first, you're just working through, and that's why there's exercises that I teach. After a while, you can be just doing it like we're just sitting here on the set today.
He leads you to good pasture. He leads you to safety and security. When you're in his shadow, there's not a bear or a lion or an animal or anything that can take you down. And if you live in the shelter and shadow of the shepherd and the Almighty, there's a safety there. And his voice will guide us to that shelter, to where that shepherd is, to where that pasture is. Is that right?
Yeah.
And sheep can hear it. Now, are you convinced, Betty, that you hear God's voice?
You know, when God really got a hold of James's heart, and it got, I watched it. It was just a miracle, and I could see God working in his life. I could see how God's word came alive to him. And I read the Bible like a good little girl, you know, every night, and did my lessons and all that. But I didn't really understand the Bible. I could not grasp it until I began to see and know that I too could hear from God. And, you know, it's just like getting to know him, like you said. It's getting that relationship.
You were probably thinking, if James can hear him, and I can hear him.
No, I didn't. But when I really realized and I knew I was hearing him, I got to know him as my father. He began to speak to me through his word, and all of that mumble jumble that I was reading became alive to me. And now I can pick up his word, and I'm thinking, that's my father talking. It's that relationship that you're talking about. It's so real if we'll allow him to teach us and grow us. When James went away to college, I was still I was a senior in high school, but we would write letters back and forth. And I so cherished those letters because why? I could grasp a little bit of his heart and what was going on, and I got to know him better and better. But it made me want to know him more and more to get to see him. I still have that shoebox full of letters that he wrote me when he was in school. They're precious to me. But better than that is loving him and knowing him and living with him. And that's the way I feel about God. I love him. I know him. He lives with me in my heart.
It's interesting. So the first time, I started hearing from God for the first time like 14 years ago. So I mean, I'm just teaching people this out of the story. The first time I went to listen to God, I'm just telling you this very transparently, I was expecting him to say how disappointed he was. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was sure he was going to tell me, you know, I gave you all these gifts and like, look what you've done with it and how disappointed I am. And I come to think about that. By the way, I've never heard him say that. His voice is always love. Sometimes he's stern. Sometimes he'll lead you in a direction that's challenging. He's challenging you, but I've never...
Let me insert something right here. I've told people this because I just realized in the last years, I've never heard him say, I'm disappointed in you. You know what he says? I'm disappointed for you. When you miss my word, you miss my will, you miss my ways, you miss my voice, I'm disappointed for you. Does that make sense?
It does make 100% sense. That's why I said sometimes he's like a coach kind of pushing you along. And I'll just simply tell you, if you came, I have four kids, 19, 17, 16, and five, same wife. I do know what causes that. I always tell people, like, you know, we just had a big gap there. That's just the way things go. So I say, if you went to my five-year-old, who's the apple of my eye, I love all my kids, but man, that little five-year-old girl, there's something about her. And if you said, what does your dad think about you? And if she said, he's disappointed in me, you would think, what's wrong with dad? Right? So if I'm thinking God's disappointed in me, that's actually a reflection, not so much on me, that's a reflection on my Heavenly Father.
Wow.
And so what God does when he communicates to us is he reveals his true nature. Yeah. And when he does that, it shows us who we're made in his image. So we can become more like who we're supposed to be, the authentic us, when we actually hear his voice. It is the single most, I tell people, like the second most unbelievably powerful gift that God gave was the ability to communicate with him. Salvation was the first and most important gift because that opened the door to that. But the ability to communicate one-on-one is unbelievable. And the life-giving, life-changing power and the time that I've saved and the decisions that I've made that have changed my life, it's been incredible.
I live in constant fellowship and conversation with God. It's not an exaggeration. And I find myself really excited about the fact that he loves to share his heart with me. And here's the thing that he's always made it clear that he likes to hear our heart, even our broken heart, a damaged heart, a heart that has wandered. He still wants to hear it because he wants to heal it. He wants to hold it. He wants to mend it. He wants to guide our steps. He loves us to want to hear him. And what he's let me know recently that's really put a smile on my face, he says, you put a smile on my face because he says, I know you want to hear my voice, not in response to something you say. You just want to know, Father, what's on your heart? I actually begin to ask him with everything in me, Father, what's your dream? What's your dream? And his answer was, do you realize how few children ever ask their father that? Many say, I want to give my mother her dream. I want to do this. You get successful, didn't have a lot, give my mother. But how many go and say, Dad, what's your dream? He said, not many people ask me my dream. And he said, you ask me, what is my dream? And he said, I knew how deeply you wanted to know what my dream is. Because you wanted me to see my dream come true. Now listen to me. What is his dream? He knew the kingdom would come. That's a promise. He knew the king would come. When the king came and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is in you, and after the resurrection, the kingdom of heaven and resurrection power is in you, which means that you can pray the model prayer, thy kingdom come, and it in fact has, and it is in fact in you. And then you can pray, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not just wishful thinking. My will can be done on my earth because the King has come. And he said, you believe that. So if you want to know what my dream is, it's to see my family and the body of Christ, the church, do my will on earth as it is in heaven. Does that sound like him?
100%.
Does that sound like his dream? Well, I'm going to tell you, Ed, more than I want to live another day, I want to see his will done on his earth. We do not have to let the devil and the deceiver walk over us, destroy peace, destroy freedom, destroy possibilities, destroy blessings and benefits and all the joys and all the beauties that God wants us to enjoy but not worship. We can see that happen. You believe that?
100%.
Isn't that his dream?
If you look, for example, so I think it's Psalm 11. It's in the Psalms. It says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You look at the last 80 years, the enemy has been on a constant foundation-destroying mission. So if you look at what we believed, for example, just in the United States 80 years ago, compared to what we believe now, you can see that the foundations have been destroyed. The writer was saying, if the foundations are destroyed, there actually is a point at which the righteous become powerless in a nation like that because of what they can do. And I said, it's taken the enemy 80 years. I mean this when I say this. I've been in prayer with God about this. It could take 8 months for God to restore that. That's how quickly he can move. And it's his heart. You're talking about his will and his desire. Fundamentally, when you get into a conversation with God, you start to find out what his heart is. You showed a video of these kids with a cleft lip and the surgeries that you're able to do. The compassion of the Father, you could feel that actually through the video. You could feel God's compassion. When you look at a nation that has turned its eyes towards God, you can actually feel not his anger, you can actually feel his love drawing, wooing.
He wants to pour him out on us. You know, he said that in Isaiah 58, if you have the chosen fast, you become a well-watered garden. He says, and you'll keep that flowing in that, you will build the age-old foundations. Yeah. You can restore them.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. We need to restore the foundations, and you can do that more rapidly than you could imagine.
Yep. You got it. So like the word, you know the Greek, but there's a word for time that's kairos, which is clock time. There's a word in Greek for chronos. There's kairos, which is time. I was in a conversation with God one day about this idea of kairos, time. And I was looking at Israel, who is supposed to go into Egypt. It should have taken them a few weeks. It took them 40 years because of disobedience. And I asked God, and he said, well, that's because kairos was slowed down. It was decelerated. It took them 40 years to do what they should have done in 4 weeks. And I asked him, can it work the other way? So if time can slow down because of our disobedience, can you speed it up?
Yes, he can.
He called it kairos acceleration. Yeah. And I said, okay, fine. It took the enemy 80 years to try to ruin America. It should take us about 8 weeks to 8 months to be able to fix it. Right. Let's do kairos acceleration.
He has told me that, and it's his voice. He's told me it can turn faster than you imagine. You can see how ugly is. Ugly is ugly. You see it. The enemy can't reveal his ugly fruit any more clearly. And it's everywhere. But God will reveal the beauty of his fruit if we return to him as God and Father and first, and we begin to do his will and let him direct our steps. I'm telling you, we restore the foundation and we can restore the beauty. God, let it happen.
Amen.
Listen, that's his dream. Let's spend the rest of our lives seeing his dream.
God just took over the interview.
If you want the book, just ask for it. But here's what we're asking you to do. Help us give some shoes and smiles to children. 150,000 of them right now. Help us complete a neurological center. Would you help us do that and give children a new mind and correct the brain surgery, cleft palate surgery too? Give them a smile. Shoes and smiles. Would you please, you make any gift. We're going to send you the beautiful little shoes to put on the tree to talk about conversationally. We'll send you the beautiful Water of Life bronze. Give a gift of $1,000 if you'd like to have the book. We'll send it to you to say thank you. Thank you. Watch closely and then let God move you. Thanks for putting his arms around the hurting. Thank you so much.
As the world celebrates the birth of Jesus this Christmas, Life Outreach International is also celebrating nearly two decades of spreading this good news in a very special way. With shoes, yes, shoes. We, along with our mission partners located throughout the world, have provided over 2.5 million children with the gift of shoes. Children who in many instances have never had a new pair of shoes.
We all celebrate different holidays around the world, but a holiday that's pretty common to most of us is Christmas. And that's what it feels like here today. It feels like Christmas for us because we're getting to do one of the most incredible things, and that is to bless these children with a pair of shoes.
It's because of friends like you that we've been able to reach into remote areas every year, providing the gift of shoes and sharing the good news of Jesus. This year, we want to once again see children's faces light up with smiles as they receive a new pair of shoes. Unfortunately, there are children who can't smile because they suffer from a condition known as cleft lip or cleft palate. The good news is our annual Christmas Smiles Outreach allows us the opportunity to minister to some of the world's poorest children who have no hope of correcting their condition with surgery.
But thanks to James and Betty and the friends of Life Outreach International, we're able to make lasting changes in children's lives through corrective surgery.
And this year, Life Outreach is expanding our corrective surgeries to include children with neurological disabilities, such as spina bifida and hydrocephalus, commonly known as water on the brain. To meet these children's needs, we need your help to build a new surgical center. This new neurological surgical center will allow our mission partner to expand their capabilities and to perform even more life-saving surgeries for children and their families who are waiting and so desperately need our help. So this Christmas season, as you gather with your loved ones and friends to celebrate the birth of Jesus, know that as you give to our Shoes and Smiles emphasis, you will be providing hope, dignity, and the opportunity for a brighter future to thousands of precious children.
Well, I remember I'd taken businessmen to a retreat, and one of them came up to me and held up a little shoe like this. He said his life had been changed going to the various ministry events that we had. And he said, "James, I can get little shoes like this at almost nothing, just like this, and they'll last so long. Could we give shoes to little children who never had any shoes?" I thought, man, I don't know. I never thought about it. Well, boy, have we ever given it to millions and millions of children. And we're doing that. And I remember when my staff came and said, "We're going to give people a little Christmas shoe gift." And I thought, I was told that to Betty. You think that'd be really neat? She said, "By the way, we got a whole tree that's got nothing. This is the decoration." And then we have these on the bigger tree, the family tree. By the way, you get this whole box of four of them if you give a gift of $100 plus the other. Get all of that. I mean, you know, we're good givers. And by the way, if you give a gift over $1,000, we send you the beautiful cup of water bronze with Jesus offering a cup of water. And you know how much water we've given by drilling wells. Well, we want to ask you right now, you make as great a gift as you can make, because we're going to build a neurological center. Well, we're going to give smiles. More than that, we're going to give brain surgery. We've got to have 1.2 million to finish it. And one of our donors gave 700,000. We need 500,000 to complete that. So you talk about giving shoes and giving smiles and giving life. We can do it, Father. Would you please give people joy at the thought that I can do that? I can do that. I can give shoes and smiles. I can give children life. I can give them a future, and we can share you in Jesus' name. Would you please, would you go get your checkbook, go get your credit card, use it like a check, and would you go online or would you call that number and make the best gift you can? Would you do that right now, please? It's easy to put it off. This is the last week. Don't put it off. If we're going to get it done, if we're going to meet the goal, it needs to be now. Please, go get that bank card. If you write a check, call us and tell us what you're mailing. Put it in the mail. Thank you so much for doing it. and we will send you. God talks because he wants to talk to you. Please do it. Thank you so much.
For almost two decades, Life's Christmas Shoes and Smiles has continued to provide shoes for impoverished children throughout the world, as well as corrective surgeries for children with cleft palate disorders. By responding today, you can help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays, and for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children, $72 will help provide shoes for 20, $180 will help provide shoes for 50, and a gift of $500 will help provide a corrective smile surgery. This year, we have an incredible opportunity to help construct a new surgical center that will provide life-saving surgeries to children suffering serious neurological conditions. This $1.2 million project is up and above Life's normal budget, but because of one generous friend for Life, only $500,000 is needed. As a thank you for your gift of support to this life-saving outreach, be sure to request the blue crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake boxed set featuring four crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider an extra gift of $1,000 or more to help construct Life's new surgical center. And with this gift, you may request this beautiful bronze sculpture, a cup of water. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Betty, I think this has been probably a more important week than we can realize. It's really important to him. He talks. He'd love for you to want to hear him. He loves to share his heart. He loves to hear your heart. He wants to direct our ways. You help us put shoes and smiles on kids and give them a future. This is last week. We really need to hear from you. Hopefully today. We'll gladly send you the book if you ask for it, plus the other gifts. Ed, we're going to be friends a long time.
I think that's right.
We're going to spend eternity together. We're going to get a lot more people to go with us. Yeah. And we're going to see the glory of his kingdom now.
Amen.
On this earth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for watching. Tell your friends to watch Life Today. You'll be glad you did.
Describes how God carried her through the death of her sister and two open-heart surgeries. Next week on Life Today.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.